And I entitled my message, Keep Striving. Keep Striving. We get weary sometimes in this thing called life, and we get weak. But if we keep our eyes on the mark of the high calling, we can reach our goal. Our goal is to encourage one another in the faith, and our goal is to reach into eternity. As I mentioned, we went to Payville, Georgia last week at the Payville United Methodist Church, which celebrated 150 years of ministry. Payville was part of a five-point charge early on, and it got down when we went up there to a two-point charge, Ione and Payville. And I have been blessed to help start some churches, and I've been blessed to revive some churches, but I never closed the church. Well, when we got up there, this little church, little country church, and it was down to 8, 5, 10 people, family people. The church was in ministry for 115 years in that little community. But it got to a point that it was just fruitless to keep it open. So they closed the church, and then, of course, they moved over to the Pavo church. But we didn't close the church. We had a death, burial, and resurrection service with the church. Because of all those years of ministry, you wanted to celebrate that. And it was just doing a new thing, and the community changed. And so you didn't really close the church, but you celebrated the ministry that was done in that church. And as a pastor, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to get to know people in the church and people in the churches we've served and people here. One of the things that I love about Thursday night Bible study, at the end, we always take time to chit-chat about things that are going on in our life and get to know people a little bit more. But as a pastor, it's sort of really special to get invited to homes and people's homes and share with their victories and defeats and their joys and their sorrows and their challenges. And even this past week with Carol Koski's son suddenly passing away and handling deaths, burial and resurrection services. All these relationships that we are blessed as pastors to have just enriches our lives. And we thank you for that. Now, I believe that this kind of relational yearning is what inspired the Apostle Paul in the scriptures that I read this morning in Philippians. One of the things that he said in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. That's our hope. I want to know Christ. Not as a prophet, not as part of history, not even as the Savior of the world. I want to know Christ intimately, as I know my wife Judy, and benefit from that relationship forever. I want to know Christ. And our question for all of us is, do you know him? I want to live like Christ in the power of his resurrection. Christ knew who he was, and you probably never heard of the name Ted Ganiolis, who had been the San Diego Chicken for 30 years. Philadelphia has one of those mascots. They call him the Philly Fanatic, and other people have mascots, especially in the professional baseball thing. But Ted was the San Diego Chicken. And they interviewed him one time and said, you know, we heard a lot about you, but what about you? He said, well, I kind of realized that if I wasn't careful, I could lose myself in that suit. And I get to thinking, I got a lot of chicken stories, but I don't have a lot of Ted stories. I lost myself being a chicken. So sometimes our life kind of gets covered over with things that we got in our lives. And it's about a personal relationship with God so that you can have Jesus stories in your life. Now, the crowds wanted to make Jesus a king. We talk about that a lot. They wanted a king because they were so ingrained in being under Roman control. They wanted somebody to come and deliver them, and they thought a king would do it. Because they remembered about King David and how King David delivered them in a lot of ways. But the majority of the people ignored Jesus' birth and just passed by even when his death. But Jesus knew who he was, and he never hesitated to identify himself as the Son of God and the Son of Man, a mystery that still perplexes us to this day. Do you know who you are? Has the world squeezed you into a mold of false identity? Where we live in Monticello, and you go out around the courthouse and you go towards Thomasville on 19, we live up on 19 towards the dog track. There's a North Florida Title, which was downtown. They bought a house there right on 19. They converted it into an office. And I was fascinated because the lady that bought the business from the fella, now every holiday or whatever, she always decorates out front. Well, I come back yesterday, and here is a big Easter bunny standing out front. I mean, a life-size Easter bunny waving. I said, how we have lost our identity when it comes to Easter. Technically, Easter is only in the Bible one time in the King James Version, but it's not about Easter or a star. It's about the resurrection of Christ. I was thinking what we need to do. I want to talk to her, see if she won't put out a life-size Jesus at this time of the year waving, I'm alive, I'm alive. Well, we all try to be all things to all people. But does the applause of the crowd and the pressure of people trying to persuade you to be something that you're not sometimes is really hard? Wouldn't you like the freedom of knowing that you are a loved child of God? That's what Christ wants for you and what he wants for me. And I hope and pray that you say, yes, I want to know Christ. Jesus Christ knew where he was going, why he was here, and where he was headed. Do you? One of my old-time baseball, I was an old Yankee fan and Philadelphia Phillies, but the Yankees won all the time, so I paid more attention to the Yankees than I did the Phillies because they never, I think they only won two World Series in all their history. But anyhow, one of my most favorite players was a catcher, and his name was Yogi Bear. If you ever heard of any Yogi Bear's wisdom, you'll appreciate this. Yogi Bear said this, if you don't know where you are going, you will likely wind up someplace else. You got to remember Yogi Bear's humor. But there was a German philosopher by the name of Hegel, and he said this, life has only value when it has something valuable as its object. One of the great preachers in times past was Henry Emerson Fosdick, and he said this, no life ever grows until it's focused, dedicated, and disciplined. Do you know where you're going in life? Do you know your purpose in being here in this old world? Out on the Damascus Road, the Apostle Paul found his purpose for living, a passion and a destiny, a mission that shaped the world as we know it, every move that he made for the rest of his life. Now, here he was in a Roman prison, and he writes this, all things that I once thought were so important for me and now insignificant dog dung. That's what, you know, poo-poo, dog poo-poo. I have dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Question for all of us, do we have that kind of purpose in our life? Do we really want to know Christ? And do we know Christ? Well, I want to suffer like Christ, too. By sharing in the fellowship of his suffering, I never give up anything being a Christian. You see, being a Christian is less costly than being a Rotarian. Nothing wrong with the Rotarians and some of those other kind of groups. But in the church, if we miss people, oh, we missed you and yada-da-da-da. But when you are a part of the Rotary Club, you miss a lot of meetings, they kick you out. Do we really want to be that way as Christians? The church would never kick us out, but it's something to think about. There are people, however, who have paid a great price to be a Christian. Bishop Bryan talked about some of the things. He was born in Quincy, and he was raised in Bainbridge, Georgia, and he was part of the West Florida Alabama Conference for a long time. Only bishop that I ever heard give his personal testimony about how he was abused as a child, and his grandparents took him out of that situation, and they went from Quincy then to Bainbridge and raised him in the church. It's a powerful story. But he was talking about all the things that we do as United Methodists. United Methodists have founded a university in Africa called African University. You all, maybe some of you have been a part of that fundraising event when we did that. But did you know that we have a seminary, a United Methodist seminary in Russia? I didn't know that until he mentioned it. But this is a challenge, because it's tough being a Christian in Russia. Some of them consider these Christian guys over there cults, and the opposition comes from the government. The state church, so to speak, they taxed heavily the Christian churches in Russia. So it's costly to be a Christian in Russia. But people throughout history have found Christianity costs have been discovered through the suffering for their faith. It's not a penalty. It's a privilege. Paul said that he is sharing in his suffering. He said, I want to learn to suffer like Christ suffered. Now, I do not know what it's like to suffer being a Christian, but I do know what it is to suffer, because all of us have pain to bear, every single one of us. I do know that trouble can make you bitter. Trouble can make you also better. I always think about that chrysalis, especially this time of the year when the caterpillar crawls up, and it becomes a chrysalis, and then you see the what's inside of that chrysalis start breaking, and next thing you know, there's a butterfly coming out. Some people say, when they see that happening, you want to go over natural reaction. Well, I want to go help that butterfly get out because he's struggling. Well, it's the struggle that makes his wings strong enough to fly. I do know that the stripes of Jesus and the nail prints in his hand are sources of comfort, for they string out the soul. I want to take my suffering like Christ took his, seeking every way possible to find something redemptive about it. Don't ever let trouble go to waste. I want to know Christ. A young man said this once. He said, I never thought that Christians would be free from suffering, for our Lord suffered. And I have come to believe that he suffered not to save us from suffering, but to teach us how to bear our own suffering. For there is no life without suffering. I want to know Christ. The Apostle Paul said to know him. I want to know everything about him. And I want to be able to study the Word. And of course, Paul had the Torah, the Old Testament. But he studied, and here he was persecuting Christians. And then God woke him up on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And changed his name to Paul. And he became an apostle. I want to know him. I want to know the intimate relationship with Christ in my own life. And then I want to die like Christ. Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite writers and theologians, in his book, Finding My Way Home, talked about being rushed to the hospital as a result of a car accident. Lying there in the emergency room, Henry said, I heard the physician say, you might not live long. This is a serious internal bleeding that you have. He said, now we're going to try to operate, but we may not succeed. Suddenly, death was right at my door. It was right there in the room with me, and I felt shocked, but then I also felt the embrace of God, which gently reminded me, do not be afraid. You are safe. I am going to bring you home. You belong to me, and I belong to you. He said, I was at peace, and then later when I woke up in the ICU, I was almost disappointed. What am I doing here? He said, and I wondered, and I thought, I was going to be with Jesus, and I was excited about that, but I knew I would never be able to face life the same way again, because that day I had learned how to die. William Bryant, 17 years old, when he wrote this a mortal little work called a Thanatopsis, and it simply means confirmation of death. And it's from the Greek theology, theos, which means death, and then opsis, which is view or sight. A different view of death. This is what he said. So live that when thy summons come to join the innumerable caravan which moves to that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death, thou go not like the quarry slave at night, scourged in his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by his unflattering trust. Approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. Luke tells a similar story in Luke 23. It was about noon and the whole earth became dark. It was total black that lasted for 3 hours. The temple curtain was rent in two, right down through the middle. And Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. I want to leave the world with that kind of confidence. I want to know Christ, don't you? And I want to rise like Christ, attaining the resurrection from the dead. Fanny Crosby, Travis was talking about how he lost the sight in his right eye. Fanny Crosby lost her sight when she was 6 weeks old. She wrote a lot of wonderful hymns. She was 95 when she went home to be with the Lord. It was Fanny Crosby who could see more in her blindness than most of us comprehend with our eyesight. Never became bitter about her loss of sight. She went on to write 90, they say thousands, but it was a lot of hymns and poems, many of them which we sing today. Someone lamented to Fanny one day and how awful it was that she had lost her sight. This great hymn writer said, don't feel sorry for me. When I get to heaven, I will face to face with Jesus' face. Granny Crosby is buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and on her simple tombstones are these immortal words, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So now, especially during this particular time of the year as we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and the hope that it brings and his promise again to come back, which we look for, looking for the second advent of Christ. You and I on a pilgrimage that will only get better as the years go by. And surely as our birth ushered us into a bright, better world, so our death will transport us to the eternal home, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens because of the resurrection of Jesus. I plan to rise again. Ain't no power on earth gonna tie me down. I want to know Christ, and I hope you will too. That's why we sang that song this morning. Lord, I want to be a Christian. We are Christians not because we are good or concerned, or certainly not because we're nice, because sometimes we're not nice, and even me, I get accused sometimes. You're not very nice, preacher. Not conversation with Judy and I. I'm always nice out in public. We are Christians because we believe God as God is made known to us through Christ. We got his personal autobiography right here from Genesis to Revelation. So with heart, soul, and life, let us all be determined to know Christ. Christ be in my head, in my thinking. Christ be in my heart and in my loving. Christ be in my living and in my dying. Christ be in my resurrection and throughout eternity. Christ be in me now and forevermore. And my prayer is that Christ lives in you too.